There are dimensions hidden in Jesus Christ our Lord, found in the very Word of God, which is expressly made known by the Holy Spirit. Join me as we welcome the ministration of God's servant, Pastor Gbenga Shafe, at Diocese 2019, the warfare of the kingdom. Relax, relax, enjoy the ministration.
Yegede bolodo boza kata, yagada baraka taba la 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 la. Yegele bolodo boza kata. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Nothing is as terrible than for a prophet to be blind. That when you are having to deal with issues, you are operating at the same cerebral dimension that people who have no spirit, who have no knowledge of the Lord, are operating in. That prophet said, open the eyes of my servant so that he can see that there will be for us. You see, one man is us in that dimension. One man, so he counted himself with God. It was the younger prophet they wanted to bring into that dimension. You are not getting it. I say you can be so close, yet so far. You can talk about it and not have the reality of it. You are going to cry to God again. Remove every spiritual blindness from my life. Pray like you have some desperation in your spirit. Pray like you have some desperation in your spirit. Rapakoto roboko shataka. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We are going to pray. Please sit for a while. We can't talk about warfare without talking about praying. Daddy, I want to thank you for the opportunity, and Mommy, Pastor Bello, and all the pastors in church. This is like my home. And this happens to be the only church in Akure, to the best of my knowledge, that I can see, say, okay, people can go here and we are not afraid. We don't want a generation that is blind see us leading the blind. In Matthew chapter 16, and verse 18. And I say unto you that you are Peter. That is not referring to his nomenclature. It's referring to his destiny. Now, when God many times needs to communicate with you at certain levels, it speaks from your spiritual coding. Hey. You. A knowledge of you that God has. That whenever God says Bolu, there is an idea of Bolu in his mind. You may not be there yet, but as far as God is concerned, that is the Bolu he's talking to. So the journey of your faith is a progression from the current version of Bolu to the one in God's mind. So that when God says Bolu, it is destiny that answers. So every time the devil knows that he cannot cheat you out of the promise of God, or he cannot cheat you out of what the Father wants to do in your life, he sells another idea to you. The moment you buy into an idea that is reflective of your culture or reflective of your economy, the moment you buy into an idea which probably your parents gave to you, the moment you buy into an idea of what seems to be the most feasible according to the current situation you find yourself, you are bought into a lie. If the devil can convince you that you are Abraham and not Abraham, you will never have a child. You can have Ishmael, but not Isaac. Yeah. So every time God wants to do something, he asks you to name. Adam could not control the animals until he named them. When we name, it is for control. Whatever we name, we can control. Because as long as it answers that name, it will answer to you. So in the realm of the supernatural, we have to be spiritually intelligent. Not just cerebral. Spiritually intelligent. It is in the realm of the supernatural, we know that nothing happens on the earth without transactions being done in the spirit realm. You call it coincidence. You say, oh, it does happen. But as far as God is concerned and Satan is concerned, nothing is a coincidence. Jesus said, I will build my church. The gates of hell will war, but they will not prevail. I can sit here all day and tell you about how the devil is trying to prevail. But if I want to change the dynamics, then I must change the tools. T-O-O-L. I got to change the tools. Because you cannot take a sword to a machine gun fight. You cannot take a sword to an armor tank fight. And the difference is understanding. There is a lie that is prevalent in our generation, and it is that young people cannot master supernatural things. It's a lie of the devil. That young people cannot master supernatural things. So we are waiting for when life happens to them to begin to learn certain things, and it's too late. Because if God now wants to take you through it, you will go through pain. Say, Lord, open my eyes. Let me see. Let me see beyond the natural. Let me see into your heart. There are levels of sight and there are levels of sight. And for everyone who operates in the gift and in the anointing of the seer, one of the things you will know is that even when you begin to see, there are dimensions that, you know, just like I use my glasses, for some of you, or maybe if you use glasses, even when you are putting on your glasses, at some point it becomes blur. You are seeing something, but it's not clear. But you are seeing something. So even as you journey towards the Lord, you must still request for the grace to see. There is no level you get to and you become confident. Because every time God unveils a new dimension of himself, you need grace to see. If not, the former revelation will hinder the current one. It was the Lord that said to them, start from Jerusalem. But when he wanted Peter to migrate and transit, Peter started teaching the Lord scriptures. He said, no. We are following you, but I'm Jewish. You have to realize that I'm Jewish. I cannot touch anything that is unclean. And the Lord said, arise, kill and eat. Many times we have prophetic pictures in our heart. We have images in our spirit. Sometimes it is not as though we are seeing a vision, but we are having a conversation with another believer and images begin to form in our heart that we know is of the Lord. But many times we get trapped. Because you see, a man that is seen but has no understanding is not better than a man who is not seen. A man that is hearing, and yet the angel needs to say, do you understand what we are telling you? Is still not better than a man who is lost. So we require the spirit of understanding. You must understand that there are certain triggers that God cannot turn away from. That there is a way I can order my life. That even if God doesn't want to do anything with me, he will change his mind. If I find a particular posture and find my reading where God is interested in, he said, if any man shall cleanse himself, if any man, it's a blank check. I said, it's a blank check. Oh, it is not that you are the son of a pastor. If any man shall cleanse himself, he shall be. God told you what you will be. He told you what you will be if you cleanse yourself. So there are degrees and degrees of progressions of cleansings. That per every time God opens something to us, we will need to clean again, then come into it. Because why we are called as priests. But may I also tell you that the high priest must first offer a sacrifice. First for himself. Before he can also bear the iniquity of others. Are you listening to me? That means even as a pastor, even as a priest, even if you are not a pastor, but you have the consciousness that there is a dealing of God upon your life, you must know the sacrifice heaven requires of you personally. It's your own sacrifice. It's not the other person. There are certain consecrations. There are certain things they are not in the Bible, don't do it, but they are your consecrations. No consecration, no depth. Because there are certain things you require, God will tell you, you are not ready for it. And when God tells you the requirement, you say, but it's not in the Bible, you say, but I said so. Peter, arise, kill and eat. He said no. It was that conversation that would have transited him into the gospel of the uncircumcision. But he failed the test in flying colors because he knew scripture. But what he was peddling was a former truth. God actually started from the circumcision. But now God is moving into something else. So I need to pray for understanding. When I say, God, open my eyes, what I am saying in essence is, I don't want to be a limitation to what you are about to do next. Because many times we prayed for revival, and when they came, we fought it. We were the ones who fought it. Because God was doing something new we didn't understand. Yes, we prayed, but he reserved the right to tell us how he's going to do it. Oh, are you still here? Come on, are you hearing me? So there are certain things you can't talk about. They are just consecrations. So God had to go shop for a new man, and he shopped from the best among Satan's artillery. This man was also a Jew. He was more learned than Peter, and should have all the mental blocks that Peter had and more. But you see, whenever light is revealed, the first revelation of God to Paul or to Saul was light. All of a sudden, you now have more questions than answers. Why do I show up in church and we don't experience God's presence? How come my pastor is the only person God talks to? How come I can't fix my own life? Why is my family like this? When God beams his light upon you, you begin to see that there are certain things you have made peace with that heaven has not made peace with. You will now realize that even within the context of your own reality, there are things you can change simply by taking a posture. A warfare posture. That if you take your stand and say, enough, that I will build my church, it is a declaration of war. When he said, I will build my church, it's a declaration of war. The person who leads the battle is the Lord himself. He didn't ask us to go and stay behind us. God does not stand at the top of the towers when kings go to war. He leads the pack. The Bible says, great is he that executes his word. Because his vesture is dipped in blood. And his name is the word of God. He leads us in the fight. That is why I am positioned the way I'm positioned. That is why I am crafted the way I'm crafted. That is why you are crafted the way you are crafted. Because we are in different divisions of the same army. So when we fight certain operations of the spirit that we don't understand simply because we are not in that unit, you are doing a greater disservice to the move of God, and you will answer. I will build my church. I will build my church. It's God's project. Your life is God's project. Your life is God's project. How I wish you knew that when you had that abortion and you took it out, all you had was a detour. But there is a remedial program. There is a pedigree program that everyone can now subject you to redeem the time. To redeem the time, because we have so much messages that are so filled with truth, but no grace. But if you have truth without grace, you have legalism. But if you have grace without truth, you have careless living. So he is the fullness of grace and truth. When they look at him and say, what say you about this woman? He says, if you've not committed a sin, cast the first stone. Many are living under the bondage of sin, under the bondage of realities of darkness, because they have no present knowledge of the love of God. They don't know that when God forgives, he forgets. That the only person who remembers is the person who is remembering. Some of you don't know how forgetful God is. You've never experienced it. It doesn't understand what you're talking about. Lord, don't you remember as well who committed an abortion? What's your name again? No. We don't have it in our record. You deal with the issue of sin. The Bible says Jesus dealt with sin in the book of Hebrews. Once and for all. There will be no other bloodshed. Once and for all. Why am I saying this to you? If you do not get a good grasp of the finished work of Christ, when you enter into what's said, they will come after your mind. A few weeks ago, I was speaking to a lady. She said, Pastor, I think I am not born again. I said, what is the basis of that judgment? Say, I hear voices telling me I will go to hell. I said, how long have you been saved? She's been saved for a few years. I said, you are dealing with thoughts that come into your mind. She said, yes. And they are very convincing and persuasive. These are not things in the U.S. They are things with us. They are realities to deal with us. I know why many people shy away from pastoring. They shy away from the work. It's easy to preach. It's easy to point out errors. It's easy to point out mistakes. But please roll your sleeves. Let's clean it up. The impact of your ministry is not the ability to preach. It's the ability to bend your shoulders and take off your garments and say, if I do not clean you, you have no part of me. You bend your knees. I know why people run away from pastoring. I know why. It's so easy to see it now. Because there's a lot of work. You do so much work and they still break your heart. You live over them. You fast and pray. And they walk away from you. People are trying to protect their heart from being hurt. So they choose other callings. They choose other ministries. After all, who's to say that's not your calling? I will build my church. We are going to all fold our hands now. And we are going to labor for what was shed. Blood was shed. It was his son who died, not yours. I will build my church. I want to put one or two tools into your hands. Because for adventure, some of you are asking, maybe spiritual warfare is a reality or not. Wait until they open your file. When they open your file, you will know that there is nobody the devil is going to see flash on his radar with a clear mission to enter into his space and take out territories. And he will fold his hands. Nobody. That's why people in Accra are used to climbing the mountain and praying forever. Because they don't believe God hears now. You've got to go on the mountain for 7 days. And I don't have a problem. I just have a problem with your mindset that God can't even speak now. And some of these prophets, if you set yourself apart, you are 200 times better than them. 200 times. You give yourself to God, then let me see what it's going to do with your life. Some of us are students, and we think that we need to get into one height. Please define height. Because when you use terms loosely, finding a biblical standard for that thing becomes a problem. And nomenclature and weight of words is not the standard for the weight of the Spirit. That I can come to you in the spirit of Ayo Babalola and I will ring my bell and every week we shake and hell we know. And you can come in and say so much and there's no movement. Ikpeni is a calling. You can't call yourself. If they flash you and you get a collar, you are still not called. If you want God to call you, I pray God will answer your prayer. Because I will assure you of one thing. You will not be set against the people of your father's house. Oh no, don't worry, you'll get there. You will get there. When God calls you, you will see the life you used to live or what your life could have looked like And God will say, say goodbye to it. Then God tells you, keep walking. And you say, where are we going? I want to show you a land. Canaan. What's the direction? Just keep walking straight. You will now realize that the best time to learn faith is when you are in school. The best time to learn faith is when you see how somebody giving you money. The moment you are out there in the open, and God begins to say, my son, the hour has come. Then you will now know that the easiest thing that can happen to you is for God not to call you. But the calling of the Lord is beautiful. You see, because when God anoints you, He anoints you because you responded to Him. You are anointed for a task. You are anointed and empowered for a reason. God doesn't empower you to speak. He empowers you to solve problems. We have a problem in the church, so God is anointing you to fix it. It may be a knowledge problem, so He empowers you to teach. When you teach, you inform. When you train, you reform. Did you hear that? I said, when you teach, you inform. When you train them, you reform. Because you cannot train without practical. So when I teach you how to pray for a sick girl, I bring it, I say, try it. So you keep trying. So that in the day of adversity, we need to watch each other's backs. There will be no room for, is she there? No, 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 we are all equipped. There's warfare. A particular pastor, pastored for many years in Ghana, his church was not growing. And he kept wondering, maybe it was the Lord's will for him not to pastor a large church. Then one day, he mistakenly, God wanted to help him. He got to the church early. Nobody knew he was there. One of the lead women who came to church, who came to clean the church, got to the church as usual, locked all the doors, not knowing the pastor was inside in a corner praying, took off all her clothes, and began to sit on all the chairs in Ghana. So now we know the problem. We have witches in our midst. Then the pastor came out. What are you doing? Say, I will change. For you to be spiritually blind, I just came out of a meeting just before coming here in one of our frontline churches, where at least 10 women in the leadership of that church belong to covens and they meet in the church. And I'm dealing with that right now. The church holds 5 services. There was a woman in the prayer team who always prays, and every time she prays, people get breakthroughs, people move to the next level, people get married. When they saw she was the problem, they afflicted her with cancer. So when she had cancer, she couldn't really, she had to start traveling for treatment. Before she came back, they put one of the women in the coven as the head of prayer. So the prayer unit now died. Every time the devil tries to convince you about why your prayerlessness is a virtue, and every time you find deep revelations on why you cannot pray in the scripture, know that there is a grace that misleads. Just know. In the same church, oh my God. So they've been inviting a particular lady to come join them. And that's how I came into the story. Meeting inside the church. I wish I could tell you this century. I'm talking about something going on right now. But where the prophet is blind, where the prophet is blind, where the pastor is blind, where there is no discerning of spirit. Because there are certain spirits you cannot uncover unless you operate by discerning of spirit. They are familiar with, they live amongst you. You cannot tell they are there. When you say in Jesus' name, all other demons go, familiar spirits stay. Because you need revelation to see them. I'm a proper new creation reality guy. Proper one. But I tell you, the only way to learn warfare is to be in warfare. The only way to learn how to pray is when you're under pressure. You cannot learn prayer in convenience. You cannot learn prayer with your TV on. It's not in the Bible not to watch your TV. But you want to learn this thing, you put off your phone. Stay away from the Instagram, delete it, delete the Facebook app, then shut the phone down. Then let's start. Then you ask for grace to pray, then you start. Then you will see the reaction of your flesh. 10 minutes looks like 10 hours. Brother, just stay in there. Keep trying. It's going to be the longest time of your life. But just stay in there. 1 hour, you almost want to die. Oh my goodness. But you see, that is the reflection you are generating power. So don't get out of there. Don't get out of there. I am telling you, God is no respecter of persons. If you want to learn spirituality, if you want spirituality, learn the heart of prevailing prayer. To stay on your knees and pray. Prayer does not respect your degree. The devil does not respect your degree. If you have no prayer life, you are nothing. He doesn't scare. He's not scared of you. You can quote all your revelation. The devil will come into your face and mess you up. Oh my God. I was dealing 2 weeks ago with somebody who ran mental. She ran mental. She lost her mind. And I said, where did you get this from? I don't know. I said, you don't know? You don't know. I said, there are incisions in your chest. Say, yeah, I got 6 of them. You don't know? There are incisions inside your head. I got a wig on. I said, don't worry, but it's there. You don't know? Nothing is as terrible as for a prophet to be blind. They move the things, you won't see nothing. And they keep telling you, Pastor, well done. Pastor, Pastor, they are laughing at your ignorance. When I pray for the ability to be sensitive, I pray like I am just touching. I don't pray like I see nothing. I pray like, God, if you don't help me, I'm done. While we were coming to Akure yesterday, I told Charles, I said, I have a headache. I said, why don't you sleep some bit? I said, I don't know. So I closed my eyes. And as I closed my eyes, I saw that the military men asked us to stop. And I saw my brother arguing with them. And the man was cocking his rifle. Then in the vision, I said, Charles, stop. Then I opened my eyes. I still had the headache. Less than 1 hour, the military man asked us to stop. I didn't turn back. I just faced my front until I heard voices from the back. Unconsciously, I found myself saying, Charles, stop. Literally. So I realized we needed to be very patient. Patience is one of the most powerful warfare tools. Because if you are not patient, you can't know victory. After you have done the will of God, you will need to be patient. Don't go and tell God, I've done it 1, 2, 3, 4, we have done it. So what next? Go and sit down. So last night, I guess I must have been praying or sleeping. I wasn't too sure. But I saw this particular lady. And I saw a young lady who I knew. And I saw an older woman come out of her. And the woman looks like they have some form of resemblance. And I said, what's this? So I called her this afternoon, during the break. I said, hi, how are you? Say, fine. I said, I had a vision and I saw an elderly woman, looks like your grandmom or something. I'm not sure, but I saw a woman come out of you and was separated from you. I said, is your grandmom alive? I said, the person I saw is dead. She's already dead. She said, yeah, she's dead. Do you guys look alike? She said, I'm not too sure. I said, let us pray. Prayer is the trigger that opens the supernatural realm. I know you pray to mark time. When we pray, it is to connect. It's to connect. Your knowledge and understanding when you come to God is very important. Because we are all speaking in tongues, but we are getting different results. Did you hear what I said? I said we are all praying in tongues, but getting different results is our understanding. I said, let us pray. Father, in the, I had to go to the restroom. Father, in the name of Jesus, the Lord said, ask her who she was named after. I said, who are you named after? I said, oh, that's my father's sister. She's dead now. I said, can you see where your issue is coming from? The husband was on speaker. He was saying, that's not groaning of the spirit. That's not groaning. When the re-groaning comes, you won't even know when you roll from here to that side. But look at that. How do you get to the root of a matter? When you rely on your brain. 2 Kings. 2 Kings. I think it should be chapter 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17. Are you getting blessed? Kambrash Akabala Busa. 2 Kings. I think, is that the story for Elisha? Come on, media, help me. 2 Kings. Okay. Maybe I should open it. You see the warfare now. When we start now, we know ourselves. They are removing banner up and down. Okay. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 17. Verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early, he had gone for, behold, a host encompassed the city with chariots, with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, what shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Then Elisha prayed. Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. Let him see as we are seen. And the Lord heard, opened his eyes. And he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of what? Horses and chariots of fire land by Elisha. Now, when the chariots of the enemy came, where did they surround? Huh? Let's look at it again. He said, in verse 14, they sent horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed where? Now, go back to the last verse we read. That is it, verse 17 or verse 18. I want to show you something. 17. The mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about what? Where did the enemy surround? Who did God surround? Are you seeing it? God sent a battalion for one man. So Elisha was like this. The servant was not even in the midst. The chariots of fire came for the prophet. So the man was walking with a consciousness of security. How can the enemy be around the city? But when protection came, they came around one man. So you see Elisha standing, but between where he's standing and where you are standing, there are thousands of horses. But only possible in the realm of the supernatural. Say, Lord, open my eyes. Let me see. Let me see into your heart. Next verse, 18. Quickly, 18. So you see, now that we are both seen, we can both press into the same realm of faith. You know what I'm saying? We can both press. The reason why we teach in church is so that we can raise the faith of everybody to the same level. Now that we are both seen, we can now pray together. He said, Lord, smite these people. So it's a command. Smite them. And the Lord heard. Excuse me, if this man was operating under the law, and grace gives us access to more, and so far we are seeing less, somebody needs to be asking questions. Is either we are dull of hearing, or we are simply not getting the point that grace supersedes the law. Let me tell you a few things from that scripture. Number one, you cannot enter into warfare without spiritual eyes. You'll be wounded. Because when God says that's the door, you'll be taking the other door, because that other door makes sense. It's what your eyes can see. But God is seeing a door inside that wall. You cannot enter into spiritual warfare without spiritual eyes. So as pastors or as leaders, even if you run a company, you need to pray for your members. You need to pray for your team. Because sometimes you are casting a vision, they are not seeing it. That is what brings slow dullness of the, they can't move because they are not seeing it. Somebody say, I like small churches. Because small churches, they have, there's fellowship. There's oneness. I said, so what's your own position in this church? So I'm the head of music. Okay, hand over to your assistant. We don't think small here. All souls, all nations must be presented to him. Anything less than that is a religious spirit. We love small fellowships. It's the reason why we are not winning souls. We love small fellowship. It's the reason why there's no template for discipleship. That is why people see discipleship as a painful thing. But Jesus called us to disciple. He didn't say win them to Christ. He said disciple them in the name of the Father. So why should somebody get born again? How come that right now in the U.S., the only pastor willing to disciple Kanye West is the one you call a satanist? How come? Is it that some people are crafted for certain things and others are not? Where are the fathers in the U.S.? We need to say, young man, we thank God for your salvation. Come and sit down. Let's train you. Don't be too zealous. We are still going to send you out, but let's tell you how it works. He wasn't saying, hey, them Illuminati. Now he's claiming to be safe. Hey, we ain't sure. We don't know. Just keep quiet. Because you have not won one soul this year. You don't know the pain of discipling one person. You don't even know the pain of discipling one person. The pain. I'm not talking about the revs. I said the pain. Have you tried discipling somebody and Satan tried to take the person out of your hand? Then you know warfare. Rake makuta yekaba. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I come against the spirit of destruction. I say we shall all be taught of the Lord. Some of you, whether you like it or not, you have been called today. You won't say amen now because you know. Daddy, a lady said to me, I'm coming out of this relationship. Say why? I realize the brother has inclination towards ministry. That day I realized that the greatest mistake I can make is to assume about anybody. As far as this discipleship task is concerned, the greatest mistake I can make is to assume somebody is already discipled. Especially if you are the son of a pastor. Because the person saying that is the son of a pastor. You know, the fair to verse she alone. Ah, you know. My parents did it. I saw what they went through. I want to be settled. Pastor, is it a crime to be settled? I said no. Pastor, when I was praying, God told me she's my wife. I said, so can we compare notes again? She said she can't marry a pastor. Is this still God? Sir, things are happening among young people. If the generation ahead is not ready to get their hands dirty and go to where the work is, we will continue to talk about the problems of the church and nothing will change. Until the devil comes and gives them a better offer. Because sin is attractive. Sin is beautiful. At least for the moment. They go, I committed fornication. It was the devil. Hey, don't mention my name. Because we are in China for a World Wizards meeting. So, if you committed fornication, answer your case. Satan is going to court and disowning people. I don't know about your fornication, man. It's probably something going on your inside. But we were in China. I don't know anything about that guy. Let him. We have to be spiritually intelligent. We're going to spiritual warfare. Every task the Lord gives to you, we attract warfare. And the warfare can be as quiet as tiredness. The lady was very perfect until God told you she's your wife. All I saw, you didn't know where the hatred came from. Oh, my brother, you don't know warfare. Because two shall chase the shall chase 10,000. You think it's about your flesh. When God brings two people together, he's thinking of destiny. When I got married, I didn't have a bed in my house. Not because I couldn't buy one, but I chose to start that way. When I moved to Lagos, my toilet and my kitchen was the same place. Imagine what that looks like. Toilet, not restroom, because that one does not qualify as restroom. You can't rest there. One place. And I and my friend, but that's one, we cook beans there. And we were joyful before the Lord. It was never an issue of God's faithfulness. My fiancée came, oh, do you want some water? No, no. She never took one cup of water in that house. Never. Amy. I only wanted a two-bedroom flat all my life. Because for me, it would give me time to focus on ministry. Then my wife said to me, can't you think big? I said, what? That's an insult. Say, no, why do you think? I thought two bedroom because we never built a house. So two bedroom was an achievement. Yeah. A 3-bedroom flat around Arekwe is 35 million. 3-bedroom. 35 million. Just 35 million. Back to the message. You cannot enter into spiritual warfare outside the parameters of prayer. Once you are able to identify a problem, you have to find where the ground zero is and plot your graph. It's not the time to talk about something with somebody. Learn how to travail. Don't wait for problem to come. Because some people are trying to enter into the spirit realm illegally. Through extrasensory perception. Some people tell you, and I read it in a book for a popular church in America that have this choir that everybody sings their songs. I won't mention their name. Where they believe that new age techniques is for the church. Yeah? So, whether you are chanting, you do it with the Spirit of God. Until your third eye opens. People are assessing the spirit realm illegally. So it makes those of us who are praying it, praying ourselves into it, not want to talk again. Because we have so much fake outside. That all they do is tell your phone number and tell you what you ate last night. Without corresponding relationship with my redemption. What's the benefit of what I ate last night? If it has no relationship with what God wants to do in my life tomorrow. So if God will give me more, because I know what I ate last night. If you are going to my past, it must be with an intention to shift into my future. Not to get me stuck there. People who are not saved, seeing visions. Going around that mountain, somewhere around Aja, and getting things they wash their face with. And they can tell you all kind of stuff about yourself. And we don't even know the difference anymore. Because there is no place for a fake, except there is, by reason of God's ordination, the presence or the reality of the authentic. And the devil gets you to a point where you keep quiet, then he brings out the false. And you look everywhere around you, it's just the false. So people no longer can call themselves prophets. Because when you say prophet, there's something in people's mind. When you say prophet, like, okay, now them. Number three. There, in spiritual warfare, you must trust God for revelation knowledge. Are you hearing me? What is revelation knowledge? Revelation knowledge is that type of knowledge, or if you like, epignosis, is that type of knowledge that comes from God about your whatever it is you are dealing with that you probably do not have information about. It's revealed. Revelation knowledge. So when you pray, you can spend 1 hour, 30 minutes, trusting God to bring you into revelation knowledge first before the real prayer starts. Some of you didn't hear that one. That is not enough for you to just many times rush into prayer like it is to be patient with the Lord to receive directions. A man of God who started casting out devils was so bold and so proud of himself. And he said, look, there's a lady in their street that they know who is so possessed. He said, go bring her to me. These are very small things. And if the Lord wants to punish you, he will allow you sweat. And you will cry. And you will suffer. And the demon will just be there saying, can I have water? Then you say, fire. Then she rose again. And say, I need more water. I think I need more water, actually. He spent 3 days. What he thought to be a walk in the park. The lady was just laying with him. Inside the church. Then when he got tired, he started singing. Koma son wuto le she o. Atobiju o. Koma son wuto le she o. Loru igbala. They carried the bell. Banga. Because now, he has come to the end of himself. Are you getting it now? If you want to be spiritually strong in the realm of spirit, you must come to the end of yourself. You can't go with flesh. That is the first person you will deal with. Get him out of the way. If not, you will stay long ago. In that battle, ordinary migraine will be killing you. And just as he began to worship the Lord and declare the praises of God, what he should have started with from the first day. So an angel of the Lord appeared and said, now sing this song. Said, and as he sang, they began to sing the song. He saw the demons come out of that lady. And she said, please help me. I need Jesus. Please help me. I need Jesus. Please help me. But it took 3 days for him to learn an important lesson. Revelation knowledge. In verse 15 of that scripture, please go back to verse 15. 2 Kings 6 verse 15. I want to bring out a very important point here. The Bible says in the quickly. Verse 15. Let me read it. It says, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early, there is something about rising early to meet with the Lord. There is no thou shalt do it this way or thou shalt do it that way. But when you have journeyed with God to a point, you know that many times, as soon as it's 6 a.m., people start calling your number as a pastor. So you cannot mortgage your relationship with God simply because you are working for God. Do you understand what I'm saying? You cannot say, oh, it's God's work I'm doing, so you don't pray. Many of us have to resort to the night. Not because we love video, but because that's the only likely time the phone will not ring. So you learn how to use the airplane mode. Pastor, you are not picking my call. I say it is the God that will solve your problem I'm talking to. So you got to queue. Don't kill me. I've been doing this work for a few years now. It was the people that turned God against Moses. So be careful. Don't let them push you. You talk to God first. Let them wait. They won't die. You go into spiritual warfare with prophetic decrees. If David was rehearsing his lines in front of Goliath, it would be too late. Did you hear me? I say if David was rehearsing his lines before Goliath, it would be too late. The battle was first fought in the spirit. Do you know that the weapon that killed Goliath was taken from Goliath? David took the sword from his hand. But before then, they were standing apart. And they kept talking and coming closer. Kept talking and coming closer. Kept talking and coming closer. It is not the size of the weapon. You've got to have used that thing in the secret place. Kill a lion with it. Kill a bear with it. Before God announces you. Don't be looking to solve the spirit of whatever over on those states. Kill the spirit in your belly first. With fasting. Say, God, give me nation. I say, no, you give me your belly. There are certain dimensions you can't know if your spirit energy is digesting food. Digesting food. In the morning. Early in the morning. My brother, it's not an issue. It's not an issue, sincerely. That you may choose that life, it's not an issue. But when the warfare starts, you will know. Daddy, when I started binding the spirit over Maryland, I saw the difference. There are spirits. You come into a new territory, they know you are there. They know your fire. They know you are only there to do God's work. You are not looking for glory. They know. So they need to stop you before your foot is solid in the ground. They come after you. They come after you. There are prayers that unsettle territorial spirits. You can't learn it in convenience. If you are waiting for a time, God will trust you. No, you will put yourself in a place where He can trust you. First, you will choose to be that man that God is looking for. And can I say to you that when God says, let us make man, there was no idea of man except in the mind of God. It was God who knew what man looks like or was. So when you say man, what you see or think is this fallen man. When God says man, what he thinks is Christ. But because nobody knew what Christ was, so God had to give us a human prototype. Let him come to earth and live amongst us. So when God says certain things, you have a measure and a standard. Oh, are you getting me? When God says man, you have a measure and a standard. Because we don't know, we are just trying. Now He gave us somebody who rose amongst us in humanity, pressed into the depth of God, and rose to such a stature. And do you know all God gave him for what he did? A name. A name. A name. A name. Do you know you have a name? Not only between you and God. You have a coding. There's a spiritual coding on your inside that the devil doesn't want you to have access to. But because you can't know that coding, if you keep journeying after the flesh. So, but when you begin to journey using Jesus, and you are looking at, he grew in wisdom, that means there was a time he was not in that level of wisdom. So God helped us monitor his own transitions. As Jesus was transiting, we were seeing it. I hope you know Jesus didn't have age mate. They were all killed. Oh, all of them had to die for him to live. So when Jesus is playing ball, with John the Baptist, they say, hey, your mate is not here. Your mate is not here. You see your mate here? Because all of them were gone. All of them were gone. I hope you know that Jesus had to be hidden in Egypt. God allowed the enemy to hide his son and keep him safe for years. There are some times, God can raise unbelievers. God can raise unexpected people. God can raise a Joseph of Arimathea. God can raise people who are not operating your level of revelation and say, provide a covering for my son. Provide a covering for my daughter. And they'll feel so privileged to do it. So we monitor the transitions of Jesus. He didn't just show up. We monitor the transitions. I hope you know that Jesus had an argument with his mom. He didn't argue. Are you still here? I said we monitor the transition. Then in that same scripture, the word of God taught us and speaking, he said that Jesus later went and submitted himself to his parents. So it was after that submission that the scripture said he began to grow. Do you want to check it out? It's in scripture. It was after he submitted to his parents that God granted him entrance into wisdom. God allowed an imperfect system to raise his own son. So if Jesus had any element of pride on that mountain when the devil came, in that desert when the devil came, he will not pass. Because even Jesus had to treat Satan with respect. Are you hearing me? He just said, I'm the son of God, I don't know who I am. We are not trading rank here. We are not trading rank. Oh. The strongest man in the spiritual is the lamb who was slain. The moment you see how square shoulders. If the one who was strongest, who won the battle. You see, when you slay a lamb, the neck comes like this, bleeding. As long as you see how square shoulders, you are not the man. Humility is your garment. It's your toga. So when you choose it, you know exactly what you are doing. You are not trying to be humble in the name of we are Christians. You know exactly why you have chosen to be that like that. It was when Jesus, and God gave Jesus opportunity to fail without a word of knowledge. Mama, don't you know I must be about my father's business? Yeah, but I'm your mom. Get in the car. You can do that when you are 18. Right now, you are in my house. You do what I say. Go sweep the house. And you can imagine some of you with all this small anointing. Small, small anointing. Like, so, hey, these people don't know me. They don't know how you come to this room every night. Let me show them small. Let me just do like this, and our mouth will stop moving. The Bible says Jesus went and, Mama, I'm sorry. That's not submitted. The moment he did that, the Bible says, and he began to grow in wisdom. He was clothed in stature. That was his rank. So anywhere they see him in the speech, they don't see a small boy, they see an elder. Because of that clothing. And God yet gave him another opportunity to fail at the baptism. I'm telling you how many people come into warfare and live with bruises. They think it's just the prayer. They think it's just the fasting. And God is looking for the toga of humility. Even from the songs you sing, we can tell your pride. You come into warfare. Yeah, we did it last time when we were in Lagos. When I commanded the spirit of insanity to come out of somebody, and the person rolled on the floor and the spirit still didn't come out, then I know it is not falling. I casted out a spirit out of somebody and the person laid still on the floor. And the Lord told me, don't be deceived, the thing is still there. If you are not moved by things you see, Oshubu, she fell. The thing has gone. Pick out, you are free. He said, I told you that guy is blind. He's just wearing jacket. Jesus, God gave his son an opportunity to fail by asking him to bend his knee to be anointed and ordained by a man who was supposed to tie his shoes. And John came and said, Oga, Momwe, I know you. You are the one who should be... He said, no. Suffer it to be so. Permit it. So that the works of righteousness can be complete. That, for righteousness sake, is not the way you Nigerians use it. You have your own way of defining it, but the Bible meant something else. Lembro shadabalabo sotadabaya. And he allowed himself to be dipped in water. But you see, the moment he embraced that form of humility, allowing Ogi to lay hands and say, receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says when he came out of the water, it wasn't the same man who went in that came out. Bible says he came out of the water and the heavens opened. Lambro Shadeba, this is my beloved son. There is an utterance that comes over your life that announces you in the realm of the spirit. It is not a jacket. It is not a microphone. It is an announcement that comes upon you when you embrace the toga of humility. Because now, even if you go into the desert, you will win. If you come into the public, you will win. You are not determined by where, whether in the air or in the land or under the sea. There is a declaration over your head that says, this is my son, is my property. He bears my name, is equal to the Father. There is nothing you can do about this one. Do you see how you cheat yourself when you try to be too smart with God? Because you read scriptures and bring your own meaning into it. Jesus embraced ordination from a man that was going to later be asking him, are you the one? Are you still here? Let me round up. I don't know if... you know, this kind of atmosphere is charged. If I stay too long here, but let me... I will contain myself. I want to show you something very quickly. 2 Kings chapter 9. This was when Elisha was about to die. 2 Kings chapter 9. Please go to the verse where you were sick. I need to skip a lot of things. Please let me look at it there. I don't know. Let me see. Have you found it? Second Kings chapter 9. Hallelujah. Did I get it? It's not 9. Where is it? The death of Elisha. What? Chapter 13. Okay. Chapter 13 and verse 14. There's a story in that scripture where Jehoash came to the prophet. Let me look up that verse. Where he came to the prophet and saw him sick. That's verse 14.
Verse 14.
Now Elisha was falling sick. Whereof he died. That means that was the sickness that killed him. Things that didn't kill your father, but you have a double portion, and it's going to kill you. I hope you know that there was a reason why Elisha did not collect that money from Naaman. That money was the token of his leprosy. But Elisha had eyes to see it. It's not every honorarium you... Sorry, it's not every seed. That's the language. Be praying, you know. Check out, bar. Should we collect it? Leave it. So, Joash, king of Israel, came down and wept. When he saw his spiritual father the way he was on the bed. The Bible says he wept. That must have been a very hopeless situation. Look at what he called his father. My father. The chariot of Israel. And what? That was the oriki of one man. That's the best way to describe Elisha. That is the, when you see him, you see, you know when the chariot surrounded him. See now, that thing has come up. They know him. He walks around with spiritual forces. It's not like Elijah making noise. He doesn't talk, but they are there. You mess up, you are blind. Verse 15. Elisha said to him, take your bow and your arrow. And he took the bow and the arrow. Verse 16. And he said to the king of Israel, put your hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon the bow. What did Elisha do next? The Bible says Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. Activations. When the supernatural comes upon your natural. Are you hearing me now? There are activations that come in the realm of the prophetic. He told the king, grab your bow. Say, now, let me put my hand. So what he put was the weight of his authority. When you despise the prophet in the house, there are things you lose when you disregard spiritual authority. There are certain activations that don't respond to your intellect. They respond to the activation. If you value other men of God more than your pastor, some of you use the DP picture of other men of God that don't know you. I'm trying to be practical. Oh, we are celebrating God's servant. Today is his birthday. God bless you. God increase you. You are to the body of Christ. The guy is not even on Facebook. He ain't going to comment. You see, it's these little tokens. Yeah. Everyone's quiet now. I better go back to my message. Open the window eastward. When I come and talk about the spirit of honor and alignment, if I ever get the opportunity to do that here, many of us will repent. There will be no laying of hands. We will just be 1 hour of repenting. Open the window eastward. Now, when you see east is the traffic into the spiritual. Daniel wanted to pray. The Bible says he faced the east. Muslims pray. Where do they face? The east is the prophetic picture into the spiritual. Anytime you see east, you are not far from the spiritual. So what was he saying? We want to shoot an arrow. We want to release a target in the realm of the spirit. But we are taking a prophetic posture in the physical. But what we are hitting is in the spirit. Are you hearing me? Say shoot. And he shot. And Elisha gave that shot a name. What did he call it? The arrow of the Lord's deliverance. Very spiritual man. He was sick, yet he could articulate eternal things. The arrow of the Lord's deliverance. And with this arrow, the Lord shall smite the Syrians in Aphek till you have consumed them. But next verse. And he said, take the arrows again. And he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, smite the ground. I say, when you are spiritually blind and you use cerebral understanding to interpret spiritual instruction, you get stranded. And he smote the ground. Did the king say three times? The least he could have done is, daddy, how many times? Don't be too smart. Knowledge in a man is as a deep well. But a man of understanding will draw it out. How do you draw it out? With questions. When you are sitting in the presence of an honorable man, don't go there sharing your revelations. Go there with questions. Daddy, how do you do this? Daddy, what do you think about this? Daddy, what do you think about this? You see, what you know, you already know. It's what you don't know, you need to be trying to know. Don't go share no revelations, don't know nothing. Because if someone like daddy says, Jesus, that name Jesus could be a combination of 25 years experience. You just gave a life class yesterday. So your own Jesus only has weight to the degree of what you just encountered. He smote the ground three times and stayed his hand. Next verse. And the man of God was angry. Say, you should have smoten five or six times. Then you would have smitten Syria till you have consumed them. Now you shall only defeat them three times. Now go to the last verse of this scripture. Last verse. Last verse. Is that the last verse? And Jehoash the son of Jehoash took again the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Azariah the city, which he had taken out of the hands of Jehoash his father by war. Three times did Jehoash beat him and recover the cities of Israel, like the prophet prophesied. Let me tell you certain things you need to know. Number one, in spiritual warfare, you must be discreet with information. Let me say it in simple language. It's not everything you see that you say. Prophet Eli, the Lord told me, you and your family, they have been removed from priesthood. Fear the Lord. Yeah, and you are joining us. Drink this poison. The judgment of your fathers is not in your hand. Did you hear that? I said the judgment of your fathers is not in your hand. You are too small. What a father carries is grace. This generation, that their parents are not wise in their own sight. Is it not better for you to receive impartations from men who have dug wells? Why do you want to reinvent the wheel? But where there is no honor, you will not know what it means to be discreet. You see your father's shame, and you feel you have the grace to talk about it. You see your brother fall. Daddy, something happened. Let me be packing, because there's still plenty talk. A man of God downloaded this punch. Or, you know, some of these newspapers, they have this app you download, you can read the news. Please hear me. He was in the plane, then he noticed a news flash. Popular. Popular Muslim cleric caught raping 8-year-old girl. So he refreshed it and tapped on it to open the article. The thing disappeared. So he called his friend who works in the newspaper, one of his sons. And what happened? I saw this news. It just dropped and then it disappeared. He said, they told us to take it down. Say who? Say my boss. Say we've been queried for it. What do you mean? We too, we have our own boy somewhere now that is still trying to fight for his own life. They said, the MD or the chairman of the newspaper said, are you mad? Do you think we are like Christians who rubbish themselves in public? Take that thing down. Or your job is on the line. He did it. Let them bring him home. Omowani. We'll settle it at home. Who told you to put it on the papers? Who did that? Who authorized you? Put it down now. He said, your boss told you that his imam, they called from Abuja and said, we don't deal with our messengers in public. Bring him home. Take that thing down now or we'll pull our resources out. The news went, as it was dropping, it was going. Because many of us have never known mercy. Because many of us have never fallen. We don't know what it means to receive mercy or even to give. That if any man makes it on that day, it will not be because of your works of righteousness, but because you found mercy. That every time you lay your hands on the sick and they get healed, it's because there's a cry of mercy on behalf of that person. That every time we have to interface ourselves and judge alignment based on our nomenclature or church names, is because we don't know the strength of our coming together. And if God can at least take away this spiritual racism from amongst us today, play part to victory. I am waiting for K&S Church to call me. And when they come, they should bring their sutana. It's just cutting. And I wear it. I'm just shopping for souls. That's all. I'm shopping for souls. God didn't bring me out of the bank to negotiate. He brought me out with all. If God came to the bank to pick somebody like me, that means he's still recruiting. So he went out at the third hour and found some. What are you doing? Say, come. Then he went out at the sixth hour. Ah, you do not. Come. Then he came again. Ah, you boys. Ah, there's nobody. Ah, come. It's soon getting to your street right now. He record the street. Hey, you boy. Hey, come. And all of a sudden, me, God can even call someone like me. Because God knows me. I'm not really serious. So all of a sudden, you're just having dreams. You see yourself going to nations. God will be showing you five pictures. Say, all of a sudden you become very sober. Say, Pastor, I don't know what's happening to me. All of a sudden you become so sober. Pastor, even right now I can feel it. Oh, hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is in this house. Look, let me tell you. What I came to tell you today is a little I've learned. But I can tell you, listen to them. Go and get that message. Not because of my voice. Can see my voice is broken. Not because of my voice, but I want to add to your faith. I want to be some form of help. Daddy, I say this one and I take my seat. A true man of God should say finally 7 times. Don't ask me where it is in the Bible. I don't know. We know where it is. Hey. There's a man of God, highly anointed. I say this is because Daddy, I was in a meeting and Reverend Paul Adefrancy was talking. And in all that 3 hours conversation, he made a statement in a line. And I said, that's what I needed to hear. He said, hear me, young people. Our time is done. I just cut out that statement. Then he said, there is nothing we are going to do again that we have not done. It's your turn now. We may be here another 20 years. We may be here another 30. But it's your turn now. It's your turn now. We want to see you take the step and then guide you. It's a shame if you are in a church and they talk about lazy people and the thought of your name. I didn't say they mentioned the name. I said the thought. Oh, we want to travel. Who can we ask to handle and he will do it well? Your name doesn't flash. So you realize that some of the things we are talking about are some of these basic things. This pastor, sir, highly anointed. When we gather like this and we are talking, men of God, let's pray. Say, look, I'm tired. I want to rest. But when it's time to preach, he will begin to sing. Thine is the praise, thine is the victory. Satan defeated, yours is the praise. The cripple begin to jump up. The blind begin to see. Those of our brethren, Rakapada, Father, do it. Reverend Adekunle, what's going on? The shame will not let us talk. Because we prayed, he said he was tired. But something is happening. And for many years it was like that. So then his mom died. And they went to the village. They went to the village to bury mama. And after the burial, he had a crusade. And nothing happened. And people felt, oh, because he was in a state of mourning. Evangelist, are you sure you can do this crusade? He said, Mama is to the Lord. Let's preach. Nothing happened. 6 months. Nothing was happening. Souls were not getting saved. Not to even talk of headache getting healed. Then the person living in Mama's house said, Daddy, I noticed something. I actually thought maybe it's because you are mourning. Because you and your mom were very close. But, Daddy, are you praying? Say, why? He said, Mama, anytime she hears on the radio or sees a flyer or hears you are coming for any meeting, she marks the date on the calendar. 7 days before that day, she doesn't come out, she's praying. I didn't say she came out to it. 7 days. Huh? What you don't know is that God also honors effort. It is not works of the flesh. But God chooses to honor effort. Yes, this is your own laziness. There is no scripture you can use to explain it. It takes a crazy man to live in the forest. And the whole nation came to meet John. It takes weight to stay 40 days. How can you have an encounter with God? It's 40 days in the forest. With wild animals. The desert. Which God can tell you that one? Only the God of the Bible. Daddy, the man realized that at 50, he needed to start learning how to pray. Mama Tilo. I shared with our folks in church my first crusade in a village called Shimeri. Were you there? Were you there together? Shimeri means Orisha Meri. It's a short form in Akoko land. Shimeri, Orisha Meri, four gods came together to sit over a land. If you remember that day, the moment I climbed the altar to preach, Father, in the name of Jesus, the lights went off. A good time to be scared. To think the devil will allow you walk in and take souls. And allow you walk out. For Daniel to enter lion's den and not be eating, he himself must first be a lion. Lions don't eat lion. Those lions were hungry, but they can't eat each other. Whether you like it or not, leadership is thrust on you. You will wake up one day and realize you are somebody's wife. And that you have to pray. when you see the battles confronting your husband, you will know you have to pray. One day you will get married and you realize that your wife has foundational issues and you don't know how to pray. Or they want to sack in your wife's office and you don't know how to pray. My wife was promoted 2 years ago in our office, and another promotion list was coming out. And then she said, "Oh, my boss told me my name is not on the list." I said, "You were promoted last year. You don't need, let others get it." She said, "But I don't mind." I said, "Be nice. I know we are Christians, but let's be nice." She said, "I still want it." I said, "You still want it?" I said, "Okay. Your name is not on the list, but you will get the letter." Don't be a man simply because you have a baritone voice. Be a man because you can get in the realm of prayer and bring answers. She called me with tears. I thought somebody died. "What's the matter?" She couldn't talk. "What's the matter?" She couldn't talk. "What's the matter?" I say, "My name is on there." I say, "Which list?" Because I said it. I didn't believe it. I told her she would get promoted, but I didn't believe it. I know the pain. I know the joy of answered prayer. I know the pain of unanswered prayer. And when you are not honest enough to tell your people that you have prayers that God didn't hear, you raise a false stature for them. I became a manager in the bank by prophetic decree. There is a place for prophetic activations. Are you hearing me? Please rise to your feet. There is an anointing that causes a man to see in the spirit. There is an anointing that causes a man to hear in the spirit. There is an impartation that takes away blindness. Father, in the name of Jesus, give it to you. Many of them are trusting for direction. Many of them are trusting you for direction. Thou Spirit of the Lord, release it upon them. Thou Spirit of the Lord, let, oh my God, arise, oh God, arise, oh God, arise, oh God, let there be a fresh baptism. Something is happening here.
We believe you were blessed by this message. For additional information, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at PGT Church, or visit our website www.pgtchurch.org. Thank you.